At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Ever feel like you're just constantly trying to keep up with tech? It moves so fast.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially here in Australia, right?
Yeah.
And the sheer amount of information, it's just, well, it's a lot. How do you even start to cut through that noise?
It's a real challenge.
Welcome to Tech Talks with Kinsoft. This is the show where we try to take that stack of info and turn it into something useful, some actionable insights to help you stay ahead. I'm your host, and I'm joined by our expert guide.
Great to be here. So today, yeah, we're doing a deep dive into the really significant Aussie tech news from June 2025. We want to unpack the key trends, flag some maybe surprising developments, and really explore what it all means for you, whether you're, you know, managing a business, working in IT, or maybe just really curious about where tech is heading down under.
Right. And we've pulled from a whole range of sources for this. Tech predictions, news sites, government reports, industry surveys, the lot. So hopefully a pretty comprehensive picture for this month. So maybe to kick us off, there was that prediction from Anthony Spiteri at Veeam. He called 2025 a year of realization, regulations, and resilience in tech. How are we seeing that play out, particularly with AI here in Australia?
Well, that's actually a perfect starting point, because with AI, one of the really interesting things happening right now is the rise of these AI middleware companies.
Middleware. Explain that a bit.
Think of them like translators or bridges. They basically help businesses adopt AI secure, responsible AI much faster.
Oh.
By letting the complex AI models talk properly to a company's existing systems, it just simplifies the whole adoption process. You don't necessarily need a huge team of in-house AI experts right away.
Okay, so it's not just about getting AI, it's getting it integrated smartly and faster.
Precisely. And that's crucial when you see predictions like IDC's, right? That 24% compound annual growth rate for AI investment through to 2028. It's massive.
So for an Australian business manager listening, what's the key takeaway there?
The key insight is that this middleware isn't just, you know, a technical shortcut. It's becoming this vital link for Aussie businesses to actually use AI effectively and, importantly, ethically.
Ethically. Okay.
Which ties straight into Australia's stricter stance, those new AI guardrails that were announced. This middleware helps companies stay compliant. It could even be a bit of a competitive edge for us here.
Mm.
But there's a flip side. More AI means way more data, much more complex data. So robust data management, proper protection, secure retention, that becomes absolutely critical.
That ethical piece is huge. Now, thinking bigger picture about AI growth. I mean, ChatGPT hitting 100 million users in just 60 days. That's explosive.
Unbelievable growth.
But that kind of hypergrowth, it doesn't come free, does it? Especially when you think about energy, the environment.
Not at all. It's putting this immense strain on energy resources globally. Data centers are the engine rooms for AI, right?
Right.
Well, the number of them doubled. Just between 2015 and 2024, we went from 3,500 to 7,000.
Wow.
And Deloitte reckons their energy use is going to jump from about 500 terawatt hours this year to nearly 1,600 by 2034.
1,600 terawatt hours.
Yeah. To put that in perspective, that's roughly what India uses in an entire year.
Good grief.
Yeah.
So for Aussie businesses, sustainability isn't just a buzzword anymore.
It's absolutely not a nice to have. It's fundamental. It's a strategic necessity if you want to scale AI responsibly and, frankly, affordably.
So what's the immediate implication then? Beyond just, you know, the environmental concern.
Well, it means we just can't keep powering things the same old way. This demand forces a big shift towards more sustainable energy. Nuclear is mentioned as a likely longer-term option. Shorter term, we need clever cooling for these packed hot data centers. Things like compute and memory, CIM architectures, they cut down the energy needed to shuttle data back and forth, makes AI more efficient right at the hardware level.
Fascinating. The physical infrastructure has to race to keep up with the digital.
Exactly.
But it's not just physical infrastructure, is it? It's changing the human side, too. Hmm. How's this AI surge showing up in the workforce and leadership roles here in Australia?
Oh, it's a profound shift. Take software development. It's being totally revolutionized. We've gone past simple code suggestions like GitHub Copilot to platforms like Cursor AI or Replit.com that can actually generate whole chunks of code.
Right.
So for developers, the job changes. It's less about typing code, more about high-level design, reviewing the AI's output, integrating it. Huge productivity potential.
But risks too.
Definitely risks. AI can generate malware just from a prompt now. So this whole idea of responsible AI becomes critical vendors building in safeguards to stop harmful uses.
So a massive change in how software gets made. And leadership. Are new roles popping up?
They absolutely are. We're seeing the chief AI officer emerge, the CIO.
CIO.
These roles are all about overseeing the ethical, responsible, and just plain effective use of AI across the whole organization.
So not just an IT thing.
Not at all. It signals AI is a strategic C-suite issue now. It touches everything ethics, long-term strategy. They work hand in glove with chief data officers, data privacy officers too.
And we're seeing this reflected in business attitudes.
Yeah, you hear reports about Amazon expecting to replace some human roles with AI. And just generally, CEOs seem to be getting the message loud and clear. You need to embrace AI to compete.
Which brings us neatly to regulation. How are governments, industry bodies reacting to this speed? Especially here.
Well, the regulatory landscape is definitely getting more complex. There are new laws forcing companies to really get a handle on their AI implementations. And you're seeing AI governance platforms pop up to help with trust, transparency, ethics. And specifically for Australia, the ACCC, the Competition and Consumer Commission, their latest digital platform services report just came out June 23rd.
Right. The final one in that series. What did it find?
It found ongoing widespread harms in digital markets, particularly from these fast-moving techs like Gen AI and cloud computing.
Okay, so harms are still happening. What are they recommending? For businesses listening, this sounds like it could really impact things.
It could. They're pushing for a whole new digital competition regime. The idea is to tackle things like self-preferencing or tying by the big cloud players, you know, Amazon, Microsoft, Google.
Because they're vertically integrated.
Exactly. The ACCC argues that kind of behavior can stifle innovation, especially for smaller Aussie players, and ultimately push up prices for businesses and consumers.
They're trying to level the playing field a bit.
That's the goal. So for Aussie businesses, particularly startups, SMEs, the insight is this could potentially open things up, reduce costs maybe.
Makes sense. And what about consumers directly? Any findings there?
Oh, yes. A huge number, 72% of Australian consumers said they had run into potentially unfair online practices. Things like accidental subscriptions, hidden fees.
We've all seen those.
Right. So for businesses, the takeaway is clear. If you're not being upfront and transparent online, you're not just risking customer goodwill. You could be facing serious regulatory heat soon.
So ethical design, clear terms, no longer optional.
Absolutely. A regulatory imperative now. The ACCC wants an economy-wide ban on unfair trading practices. And interestingly, 82% of people surveyed agreed there should be an external body to handle disputes with digital platforms.
Gives consumers somewhere to go. What about the platforms themselves? How are they tackling things like misinformation, especially with AI making fake content so convincing?
That's where the Digital Industry Group, DIGI, comes in. Their report from early June detailed what Aussie platforms are doing.
Yep.
Big focus on AI transparency. Labeling AI content. Google's expanding SynthID, that's like a digital watermark for AI stuff, to text and video now. Meta, TikTok, Adobe, they're all improving their labeling tools too.
So trying to show what's AI generated.
Yeah, and using things like C2PA content credentials to track where digital content actually came from. It's provenance.
That must be critical around election time.
Hugely important.
Mm.
And platforms did put specific policies in place during the 2024 election cycle here. Microsoft, for example, had dedicated teams in Australia, trained over 150 people just on tackling election misinformation.
Did it work?
The numbers suggest they're making headway. TikTok apparently hit over 95% proactive removal of misinformation here consistently. YouTube pulled over 5,000 videos from Australian IPs for violating policies.
Okay.
So the insight. Even though AI makes misinformation more sophisticated, the platforms are developing tools and processes to fight back at scale. It's an ongoing battle, but they are fighting it.
That's good to hear. Okay, so we've really dug into AI's impact this month. Huge topic.
Fascinating, yeah.
But June wasn't only about AI, was it?
Yeah.
There were other big things happening across the Aussie tech scene. cybersecurity, manufacturing innovation, energy. Where should we go next? Why? How about cybersecurity? How ready are businesses here?
It's still a massive concern. You've got two things happening. The threats outside are getting smarter.
Like those AI deepfakes impersonating CEOs.
Exactly. Or AI crafting phishing emails that sound really personal, really convincing. But then you've also got the internal readiness issue.
Yeah.
A recent report found only half, just 50% of Australian business leaders feel confident their staff could actually handle a cyber incident properly.
Only half. Despite all the talk and the push for things like the new cybersecurity bill?
Yep. So for anyone managing IT, it screams. It's not just about the tech. It's about the training, the response plans, the people.
And we saw real-world examples this month reinforcing that, didn't we?
They did. That ex-student charged over the Western Sydney Uni attacks, classic insider threat reminder. Then you see Sportsbet actively recruiting security champions from their regular staff. They get it. Your people are a crucial line of defense.
Human firewall.
Exactly. And even globally, look at WhatsApp being banned on U.S. house devices over security. It shows a general tightening everywhere. Plus, those huge health data breaches, McLaren Health, 743,000 patients. Another U.S. provider, 5 million patients.
Ouch.
The clear message for any Aussie business, no one's safe. You need layers of security tech and people. Proactive is the only way.
A sobering thought. Now, related to security, and maybe cost too, I've heard talk about data repatriation. What's that about?
Yeah, it's basically businesses moving data back from the big public clouds, AWS, Azure, Google Cloud, to their own data centers, or maybe a private cloud.
Why would they do that? Isn't cloud the future?
It's often about cost control, trying to get better efficiency, maybe wanting more direct control over their data. We sometimes call it data freedom, avoiding getting locked into one vendor.
Okay, so flexibility. Makes sense for IT managers looking at budgets or owners worried about getting stuck.
Precisely. It means rethinking that hybrid cloud mix. What runs best where? For cost, for performance, for compliance, especially with market uncertainty, changing license fees, new regulations.
But moving data back isn't simple, I imagine.
Not at all. You need absolutely rock-solid data resilience solutions in place, backups, disaster recovery. You can't afford data loss or corruption during or after a move like that.
Right. Okay, let's shift gears. Manufacturing and skills. How's Australia doing on boosting those fronts?
Well, for manufacturing, the phrase being used is transformation at scale. It's basically become essential for survival.
Why do or die?
Stiff competition globally, high operating costs here. Manufacturers have to embrace Industry 4.0 stuff, AI, robotics, IoT, 3D printing, just to stay in the game.
And what's key to making that transformation work?
Master data. That core, consistent info about your products, your customers, your suppliers, it's highlighted again and again as the absolute foundation. If your master data is a mess, none of the fancy tech will work properly. That's the insight for any manufacturing leader.
Get the basics right first. Makes sense. What about new tech, deep tech innovation?
CSIRO's On Accelerate program is doing great work there. It helps fast-track serious scientific research into actual commercial products. Their latest group of 11 teams, they've already pulled in over $33 million in funding. They've got tech validated in areas like drug development, healthcare, sustainability.
So turning science into business.
Exactly. For investors, for innovation managers, it shows there's real momentum in translating Aussie research into economic growth, finding solutions, pinpointing those future growth spots.
That's great to see. And the skills needed for all this. Are we training people?
There's definitely investment happening. Riviera, the yacht builder, they just won the Australian Apprenticeships Leadership Medal for their training academy and life skills program. Shows the value placed on vocational training.
Good example.
And you see TAFE Queensland partnering with One Advance to boost digital literacy. It's broader than just one industry. It's about making sure the workforce generally is ready for this digital shift.
Critical piece of the puzzle. Okay, last area, energy and infrastructure. What stood out in June?
Well, something really interesting for homeowners, potentially, is this virtual energy network study from Deakin Business School.
VEN, what's that?
It's basically setting up a platform for peer-to-peer energy trading. If you've got rooftop solar and maybe a battery, you could sell your excess clean energy directly to your neighbors or others on the platform.
Even if the buyer doesn't have solar panels.
Exactly. So sellers earn more, buyers potentially get cheaper, cleaner power. It helps decentralize the grid, supports local renewables. Really neat idea.
That does sound like a potential game changer. Anything else on the energy front?
Yeah, there's a bit of a push from AREMA, the appliance industry body, for urgent reforms around the incentives for hot water heat pumps.
Problems there.
They're citing issues with safety, performance, even fraud. They want proper product standards, properly trained technicians. It's a reminder for policymakers that even well-intentioned green schemes need strong oversight.
Good point. And big government IT spends. Are they keeping up?
Oh, yeah. Queensland's got a massive $1 billion whole of government tech overhaul underway. SA Water is doing a once-in-a-generation core tech upgrade. WA Police, $30 million for IT optimization.
Serious money.
Definitely. For anyone in public sector tech or bidding for government work, ITSMO's digital infrastructure is a huge priority for modernizing services. And nationally, keep an eye on the NBN. New faster speeds rolling out, potential teething troubles, plus that baseline shift from 25 megabits per second up to 100. That affects millions.
Lot happening there, too. Okay, we've covered a massive amount of ground. Let's try and synthesize. What does this all mean for you listening for the Aussie tech scene?
Well, I think a few core themes stand out. AI's influence is just undeniable, isn't it? Its growth, the energy demands, the workforce changes, the regulation scramble.
Yeah.
It touches everything.
Yeah.
Then there's that constant battle for cybersecurity and this interesting trend towards data repatriation, focusing on resilience. And finally, you see this clear commitment in Australia to innovate in manufacturing, in energy, and crucially, to build the skills needed to support it all. It's a really dynamic picture.
Dynamic is the word.
Yeah.
It feels like a landscape of huge change, but also incredible opportunity.
Mm.
Which leads to maybe a final thought. As AI keeps reshaping, well, everything, our daily lives, business, even national security, how do we, here in Australia, make sure we harness these powerful tools for good? How do we manage the risks but still foster a truly resilient, competitive digital future? That's maybe the big question for all of us, isn't it?
It really is. Something to keep thinking about. But hopefully this deep dive gave you some useful insights to navigate it all.
We certainly hope so. If you do want to chat about your own security or IT needs or just think through how these trends impact your business, you can always head over to www.kinsoft.com.au.
That's www.kinsoft.com.au.
Thanks so much for joining us for this deep dive on Tech Talks with Kinsoft.
Until next time.
Keep learning, keep questioning, and keep pushing forward.